joining us. He is, of course, he did a great interview with the with Brett Brown on Friday. Tremendous interview, and we got lots to talk about this week. This is a crazy week. It's Kawhi week. We got to think at some point Kawhi will be moved, if not before the draft, and certainly draft night, which is Thursday. And then July 1st is the start of the new league year. That's when free agents can move. So on July 1st, so it's a busy time. And let's welcome in the Lord of the Afternoons in television and radio. Brought to you by the Bagster, dumpster in a bag at yours today, Home Depot, Lowe's, and local home improvement stores everywhere. He's, of course, Mikey Misk. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. I'm fascinated by the Stromboli conversation, first of all. there's such a thing as waiting for it to cool.
Yeah, it
you
might
know,
be
like,
as simple
when
as that.
You get like a real hot pizza, like you don't eat that right away because it burns the roof of your mouth. You let it sit. You know, it's the same with the Stromboli, is it not?
Well, no, because the difference is the turnover, the pocket, allows the grease to congeal more and take away from the taste, like pizza, because it's open.
Yeah, but you cut it in half, and then it's steam comes out of both sides.
Right, I know, I understand that it cools off, I get that, but my point is that once it actually starts to cool off, you know, it doesn't have as much taste because of the congealed grease, unlike pizza.
But if it's cooled off, it's still hot.
See, they don't have the Stromboli in New York. They don't make a bowl in New York. You keep talking about the congealed grease.
Yeah.
You have no idea when it comes to Stromboli.
Well, I don't understand.
I've had bad Stromboli here.
You have no terrible Strombolis here.
You're supposed to eat it. It eventually gets warm and not scalding, and that's when you eat it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, it's also messy. It's overrated. I mean,
it's not messy.
Yeah. It's not. You can cut it in pieces.
Right.
It's fine.
My point is, when you cut it into pieces, you know, if you get good toppings on it, they slide out.
Oh my god.
Because you have no concept. This is
otherwise you go cheap cheese.
This is a horrible cheese.
Yeah, I hate to drop it on them because Medigan.
Yeah, Medigan.
Well, I don't go out there claiming like I'm some authentic Italian cuisine reviewer.
Yeah,
I'm not a food blogger.
No,
I know what I like, and I know what it's not.
Well, you can make that claim for any pasta dish. Too hot.
I completely disagree.
When it cools, it loses its flavor.
I completely disagree. It's not as messy, right, and it's contained.
All right.
It's contained. His ass is contained. That was the worst take in the history of this show.
Why? Because
it's anti-bowling.
I don't know why you guys hold this food so high up on the level of
food.
It's a low level offer.
I'm not a big Stromboli. Well, I'll eat Stromboli. I think it's good. It's a good item.
I love a Stromboli.
But I don't understand your rationale with the hot.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, all right, well.
It's stupid, Pat. It really is. It's horrible. It's a horrible take. It's a horrible take. Once it be a hot taker, it's a horrible
take. That's a quite take.
It is.
It's a real take.
No, it's not. Michael, I'm sorry you had to hear that.
That's all right.
I apologize for that. So, Markelle Fultz.
Mm-hmm.
Is he salvageable? Let's get to it. Is this kid salvageable? He doesn't have a tiger in him.
No.
Can he get the tiger?
Yeah.
Or is he just a mess?
That's a really good question, and it worries me to death. You know, we talked about this, watching his demeanor on the bench and how accepting he was of all that. And then maybe he became a Villanova walk-on cheerleader on the back. You know, I didn't like that. And now, it appears that he doesn't want to play in a summer league, or else this would have been settled a long time ago. Like, he should have been eager to play in a summer league. And now, he's going out there. Obviously, Brett Brown's going out there to counsel the kid and feel him out, because you can't order guys to do stuff in this league. And then, you know, the whole thing speaks of, like, what does he want to be in this? Does he want to be a player, or does he not want to be a player? Is he afraid to be a player? Is this league too much for the kid? You know, mentally, they should have known about this, like, before.
Yeah, yes. I think if you missed, like, look, I like Fultz coming out of Washington, but I didn't get a chance to sit down and talk to him. Like, if you missed this, you missed on the interview, because, like, to me, the kid in the interview has to come across meekly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it appears now. I don't understand, he's obviously lost his confidence to play, but more than that, he's lost, and he doesn't seem to have a hunger to play. Like, you know, he gave him two chances in the playoffs, and I'm thinking, all right, if I'm the number one pick in the draft, I get a couple chances to play against Miami, now I'll show him. Now, all year, Mets are in him, and I had a good place, now I'm going to show what I got. But he didn't do that. He was, like, afraid to do it or something, and that worries me.
Afraid to fail is what comes to my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can't... You have to be the opposite.
Exactly.
Like, afraid to fail cannot be in the vocabulary. Especially if you're the number one pick. Now, if you're a second rounder, I get it. This kid was counted on to be the guy, and it doesn't look like he likes to play that much.
No. All right, so here's the biggest crime, is that you don't have enough to get Kawhi Leonard because of that.
Well, probably, because now he's such an unknown that you can go around the league and, you know, there was a story at ESPN.com last week about all the teams that what they could offer, and I'm looking at them and go, like, every one of these is better than what the Sixers can offer them. So, like, this is why I'm so depressed. Because this is why I was trying to make the point to you. Like, this off season to me had to bring something significant, and it's not. And I understand the process is still going on, but I had stars in my eyes for this off season.
Yeah, I hear you. I guess we just to go around completed. Ben and Joe to me, they weren't going to lead you. Anyway, it was going to take us some time, so whatever. I get your point, though. Believe me, I do. I understand it.
Yeah, it was like three guys were available.
Yeah.
They teased me and saying, they want one of those guys. And the coach says we need something significant. So he's zeroed in on that one, the same thing I am.
And the guy's linked to the coach, which is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, if there's anyone that could reach Kawhi Leonard, it's Brett Brown.
Yeah, and that's their only alternative now is him, in my opinion. And they got to come up with a deal that they don't have enough to give. So
Doncic?
I'm sorry?
Would you do Luka Doncic trade up to get him?
No.
Like, you can't get anybody, all right?
Yeah.
So you move up to get him four spots?
No.
No interest?
No.
How come? Why? Just not good enough?
He could be this, but there's something missing here. Yeah, I can't,
You're anti-Euro?
No, I'm not anti-Euro, but I'm not, like, pro go up and get a Euro.
Yeah, I just think it makes you really slow on the perimeter, too, and that's what hurt you in the playoffs last year.
That's a problem with him and Dario on the same team. You know, that's a problem. All right, a couple other things I need to get your opinion on. So, your boy Lefty. Right. Now if he does that, is that something you would do if you're frustrated, other than Sans breaking a club over your knee like Sammy Sosa would do a bat, or flinging him in the water? Would you do that?
I've seen guys do it, like playing with guys that were just out of the hole, and that's what happened. His explanation is interesting because he said his explanation makes sense, but he didn't really know. Like, he asked an official, "What do I get for that?" Like, and then he took that narrative and turned it into his own narrative, saying, "Well, I was only going to get a 2-stroke penalty, and I didn't want to make a 10, so I decided to do that." But he didn't know what he was going to get, so it's a flat out lie. And
Daly got disqualified.
Yeah, he should have disqualified himself, first of all. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't seem to care about it.
No, he showed up next day like no problem.
He's like had no problem with it, which is really weird. I don't know what's going on with him. You know, it's a gentleman's game. You're supposed to respect the rules of the game. A lot of people think it's too stuffy. A lot of people don't think it's a big deal. But in the U.S. Open, it's mind-boggling that a guy would do something.
I know.
Like, John Daly's out of his gourd. And so he did it, right? You know, but you expect it from a guy like Daly. You don't expect it from Mickelson.
All right, well, listen to this cut.
If somebody's offended by that, I apologize to them, but toughen up, because this is this is not meant that way. It's just simply I just wanted to get on to the next hole, and I didn't see that happening at the time. I'm gladly take my two strokes and move on.
Toughen up, he says.
Well, what do you mean he didn't see it happening at the time, go to the next hole? He was going to go to the next hole whether he made a 10 or a 12.
Right.
So I don't understand that. Actually, it's toughened up. Yeah, I don't. You know, he's never been one of my favorites, to be honest with you. I think he's one of those phony smile guys.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't like the phony smile.
I can see that. I can see that. You're right.
Yeah, I'm not a phony smile guy.
I've always thought of him as like a guy that was okay with being runner up. You know what I mean? Like, I thought he was okay being second fiddle to Tiger all those years. And okay to be like, oh, I can win once in a while, but I can make my millions not winning.
Yeah, well, he did make his millions.
Yeah, sure did.
I guess he had the right idea. I guess that doesn't matter. Listen, he's an accomplished golfer. He's going to go down in history as one of the great golfers of all time. So, I don't know. I don't know what his mindset is. That course was so frustrating. Like, I'm trying to put myself in his mind. Like, it was so unfair. That ball was going to go flying off the green, and maybe it just built up, and he said, you know what, I've had enough of this. And he didn't want to blast the USGA, so he did it that way.
Except he did it on Twitter, but that's all right.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Mikey, and then finally, the manager. Speaking of not understanding things, what is his problem? Is it the entire, I am smarter than you, I am stubborn, I believe that the most important time is the seventh inning or the eighth inning, whatever presents itself, even if the old adage of the hardest outs to get in the last three is incorrect? What is it with this guy?
What in particular are we talking about?
Sir Anthony, not closing the game yesterday, yet again.
Well, they're using him too much, first of all.
And yes.
I don't have a problem with taking him out of the game. I had a slight problem with what they did with Eflin, but it worked out. So when it works out, I can't criticize him. I thought he made a joke of the game on Friday, and I'm offended by it personally as a baseball man. But Friday, he put in a position player when he had five rested relievers. Now, I know it's done throughout baseball, but it's usually done when you have exhausted your pitching staff, there's nobody left, and you got a guy who can throw hard. Now, he puts that guy in there. He was throwing 75-mile-an-hour meatballs, which I've faced in that over 50 league, and he's letting this. Now, think about the players that are out there. If this guy can't get the ball over the plate, and he gives up a monster home run. He made a circus of that game by pitching that guy on Friday night, and I was personally offended by it.
Yeah, I agree. But the idea of having no roles in the bullpen bothers me more.
Well,
I mean, the kid's got to be the closer. Like, it's no more.
He doesn't have a closer.
The kid's the closer.
Well, the kid, I think you're jumping the gun on this kid. You can't throw a kid in there, like, right away.
You got nothing, Mike. You got nothing.
He's escalated three levels. He just can't make
him. The kid's got incredible stuff. His arm is incredible. Make him the flipping closer. I watched Rivera close when he was 20 years old. Why can't this kid close?
Well, listen, Mariano Rivera is a Hall of Famer.
Okay. I watched him when he was 20, when I was in New York.
Yeah, I know you did.
So
he was special. This
kid's special.
With Mariano Rivera?
No, I'm not right now, but the kid's special at 20.
He is, but he can't.
He's got a special arm. He's just watch the kid's movement on his pitches.
It's not easy to throw a guy in as a closer.
Stop.
You're keeping me, Mariano Rivera. He's a Hall of Famer. People have failed.
You have no other closer right now. No one close to being a closer on this team.
Uh-huh.
Actor. You have no closers.
So you're saying trust the kid. Try it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with trying it, but I think they're overusing this kid.
Well, I agree.
And he's maddening the way he uses Kingery and J.P. Crawford. Like, I finally put Franco back in the lineup. And then he says, well, when Kingery plays, he's going to be the shortstop. Then what about this? You just threw away this Crawford kid.
Why? Yeah. Well, by the way, the Crawford can hit. All right?
Well, but he doesn't get a chance to hit.
He can't hit. You know he can. He's a pencil bat.
Okay,
he should never play third because he's too weak of a hitter to ever play third.
I know he is. So make Kingery the utility player.
The problem is they signed him. The other problem is they got Los playing, striking out the top of the order.
Well, listen, I they're not complete, this team, at all. They don't have hitters. And
they got one pitcher you count on.
Yeah, they're a jumbled mess, I think, right now.
I agree.
And they need they're overvaluing some players. And like Hector Neris, I know people are ripping him. These pitchers are like kickers.
They are.
They go bad.
Unless you get a kid with an arm like gold.
They go bad.
Like my boy.
Your boy. See, again, you're falling in love.
I am. I love the kid.
You fall in love.
I love the kid.
And I'm more cautious.
I love the kid. Okay,
right. I know you love the kid.
No, he dove in deep from day one, Mike.
You dive in deep. Sometimes you got to just, you stick your foot in the water first. You don't dive in deep.
I dive. I don't look. I just dive.
I know you do. Right. And then sometimes you hit your head on the bottom because it's shallow.
True. That's right. Michael, thank you, my brother. We love you.
We'll talk to you
later. Lord of the afternoon. There he is, Mike Mist.